And we are live. This is Ben Cohen. I'm here with my co-host, Michael J. Parker,
the man himself.
This is episode 70 of the Bantercast, and the title for this podcast is I Am Not Your Guru, stolen from a Tony Robbins documentary on Netflix, which you haven't seen.
I have not seen.
You have not seen. But it is a good documentary, and it is also slightly terrifying because it's Tony Robbins... Robbins. Tony Robbins, the self-help guru, claiming that he's not your guru, but actually saying, I am your guru, right? So it's like, it's like a really weird documentary. I think it's like a flight, they go to one of his massive seminars. Mm. It came out a couple of years ago, but I think it's relevant, really. It's, you know, with the health industry and the self-help industry like blossoming everywhere, it's fucking everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, there's thought leaders, gurus, blah blah blah, and if you've got an Instagram account, you can become a guru, basically.
Yep.
Right? Or a self-help person.
Yeah, I remember meeting a he was a male model / spiritual leader.
Okay.
Who drank ayahuasca once and then decided he was going to be a shaman.
Whoa.
And I remember I said to him, you know, it's like a serious undertaking. And most people
study it for decades
before even calling themselves that word. And most even don't call themselves that word because it's kind of way too loaded.
Right.
And it's sort of, a good way some people, it's like I get a lot of questions like, oh, how do I find like the right person to sit like plant medicine with, for example.
Yeah
But I think this applies to like so many other things, including like meditation, anything spiritual,
going to church or synagogue or whatever.
It's the same thing. It's like if they tell you that they don't have any answers for you, that they just have a process that worked for them, perfect.
Right.
If they tell you they have like some special secret that like they'll reveal to you,
right?
Or that like somehow they're the ones healing you.
Mm.
They're the wrong ones.
It's the absolutely the wrong person to go to. I mean, that's why the Tony Robbins thing was so interesting, right? Was because it was he makes millions, hundreds of millions of dollars off of these big events.
Mm.
I don't think Tony Robbins is a bad guy. I really don't. I don't think he's a bad dude at all. But I think he's got a fucking massive ego.
Yeah.
And I think he is slightly, he's kind of deluded a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think it's easy to do. I think if you're, like just using the analogy of people who serve like San Pedro or ayahuasca, you spend a few years doing that and you see all these people going through these amazing changes and all of a sudden you're like, maybe it is me.
I think maybe that's what can happen.
Maybe it's not the plants. Maybe I'm fucking just the chosen one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the chosen one, and maybe it has nothing to do with the fact these plants that are doing it or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not the fact that I'm like connecting people with universal truths. Maybe I'm the fucking genius.
The conduit. Yeah.
You
become more than a conduit, right? I think even believing you're a conduit is a weird one.
It's a weird one.
Right? It's like, I'm a conduit for like, you see a lot of religious leaders and gurus are like, I'm a conduit for a higher power, right? So it's a lot of these documentaries that you see on cults where the leader are amazingly charismatic. They appear to be super humble as well.
Right?
And they're just like, I'm a conduit for a higher power, higher spirituality. And then all the people around them are like, you know, just being in their presence, he's such a spiritual person. Right. It's always a dude as well.
Yes.
It's almost always a dude who's in their 50s or 60s and they've kind of like, they've got lots and lots of kind of sayings and quotes that they trot out. And they can seem extremely genuine. And I think maybe some of them are, but if you are a guru, if you call yourself a guru, right, or you run like any sort of... group thing, right, you're in danger of deluding yourself. I run a martial arts class, right, and I'm extremely aware of the potential for guru worship, right, that can go on in my own school, in my own class, right, that people believe that, like, sometimes I catch my students will say something like, you know, a new student will come in and they'll be like, oh yeah, Ben is like, he's amazing, he's like the best at this or whatever, just touch hands with him and like you'll just feel, and I listen to it and a part of my ego is going like, yeah I'm true. The fucking man, I'm the man. But I also recognize that, like, if I went to fight in the UFC, I would get knocked out in about 2 seconds.
Yes.
Right? Like, there are lots of people who could kick my ass. Yeah. Right? In my head, I don't believe that.
Right.
Right? In my, or in my ego says, no, you really are like a gangster. You know, you really are fucking good, right?
Yeah.
But I also, I know that that's not the case. So I try to always tell my students, I'm like, listen, right? When we practice, right, don't treat me like a guru. Don't treat me like a superior that you have to kind of make everyone show how good I am in front of all the other students, right? Try to keep my ass, genuinely, because I won't respect you if you don't, right?
Yeah.
And but the danger of like not doing that and having a load of sycophants like be in my class and you know, not actually pressure test myself or is extremely high, and I can see how it can really fuck some people up.
Yeah. Have you seen, there's a documentary called Kumare by this guy Vikram Gandhi, where he like creates a fake religion.
I've heard about this.
It's really interesting, and just sort of because we are in an age where everyone's becoming
a guru. Yeah.
And I think what's kind of cool about that is that we're all kind of coming to the realization that we're all our own healers, our own gurus.
Mm.
But the intermediate step is someone saying, no. I've got the thing.
The special sauce.
You've got, you know, my way is the right way. Like, so even, I mean, it's like, so like meditation, right? Like there's Vipassana, there's like the Goenka Vipassana, and that's like the only way, right? That's the way the Buddha did it.
Mm.
It's all bullshit.
It's not the only way to do it.
It's just meditation.
Yeah.
But we want the sort of distinction of doing something that's like the right way for our own egos, so we can be like, no, like, you haven't done the real one. I did the real one.
I did the real stuff. Yeah.
Oh, you weren't in the mountains for a month. Well, then, you know, I learned anything. It's like, oh, you didn't do ayahuasca. Well, fuck, you know, like, and there's a lot of that sort of.
So true. It's like,
yeah,
I catch myself doing it sometimes. You know?
I do it too.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, what? You haven't done ayahuasca? Yeah, you haven't done ayahuasca? Yeah. And then you don't really know what's going on.
The real shit. It's like, you know, oh, well, you haven't done like ayahuasca with San Pedro, then into Vilca, then you must not know anything about the universe. Like, and it's just like jerking off, like spiritual jerking off, you know, it's like such bullshit.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I always, when I interview people who I'm going to like drink medicine with, I always check to see, like, I ask them like a question and the answer I need to get basically is, I don't know. If I get that, like, great, you're perfect. Yeah. And I remember I was sitting with Leslie, and this guy goes,
we talked about Leslie in the last podcast.
I think she's a very famous San Pedro, Wachimera San Pedro sort of medicine person. And someone was like, you know, Leslie, I feel like there's like an evil spirit in this room, and like I'm really feeling its presence, and like I'm not to do with it. And what do I do? And Leslie's like, I don't know. I have no idea. I just like bring people tea, and I have no idea what to do. Like, I'm not a magical person. Like, I just bring, I just pour people tea, and I give them fruit, and I give them San Pedro. Like, that's all. I have no idea.
Wow.
You figure it out. I don't know. And like, that is always the sign of like
a genuine
person, a genuine, like someone you can really learn from. Like same for the guy who I said ayahuasca with. He just goes like, the word shaman's like, I'm not the shaman, I just play music, and the plants are the shamans, and they do the work, and I just I cook it and I give it to you,
give it to you. Right.
And I always think like, and then you meet people who like drink ayahuasca twice and they think that they're like called to be a shaman or whatever, and then, you know, they talk a lot about, you know, the things that they saw, and they tell you a story about the nature of the universe, and they and like whenever you hear that, it's like
the universe is this way.
Yeah, it's like well you drank a bunch of ayahuasca and you had an experience.
Yeah, but why don't you just leave it at that?
I mean, the people who really do this, they drink it hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times over years. And usually they don't lead ceremonies for 5, 10 years. So, you know, I think that there's like, have the humility to understand, like, it's a, if it's really your calling, amazing. But have the humility to understand that, like, there's a reason people study these things for a long time.
For a very long time. I mean, that's one of the, one of the things I was always, that I was struck by when I did the ayahuasca was the shamans there, where I did it, was I remember going up to one of them afterwards, and they didn't speak any English. But I spoke to, I had a friend of mine there who was, spoke Spanish, and they translated, and I was like, you know, that was horrific. That was one of the worst, most terrifying experiences I've ever had in my entire life, where I was like devoured by an alien or something and blasted into outer space and whatnot. And, you know, it was genuinely one of the most terrifying things. I couldn't imagine something more terrifying.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? Basically, what the fuck was all that about? And they were like, yeah, sometimes it's, we don't know either. Like, it's real strong. I'm like, no, wait a second. You're supposed to tell me, like, you know. And they're like, yeah, we don't fucking know. We don't know. We don't know what it is. Like, we just cook it.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
We cook it and sing some songs for you, you know, that helps you through the experience, right? We can kind of see. I think they can kind of, they know what's going on with you. They can see what's going on with you, and they can kind of sing you some songs to, like, help.
But that's it.
That's about it, really.
It's up to you. You're the healer. You're for yourself.
Yes.
You're the shaman.
Doesn't
for yourself.
Mean you don't need help.
Right.
Yeah. And that's why, like, a good doctor, like, or shaman, whatever, right? Even if you go to a good, if you go to a good doctor, I'm always struck by this whenever I'm around doctors, right? Like, they don't know. They, like, don't, we're going to run some tests, right? Yeah. We're going to find out what it is. And, like, you know, the experience is in the good doctors are the ones who have a process, have a whole way of, like, going about, like, we need to look at that. We're going to have a look at some of the slides. We're going to talk, confer with another doctor. Mm-hmm. We're going to, like, you know, look, we're going to try this because this has shown to be effective. If that doesn't work, we're going to try something else.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there going, don't worry, I got you. I'm going to heal you.
Yeah.
Like, if some doctor says that, it's like,
danger.
Yeah, that's fucking dangerous. You get cancer and you go to a doctor and they're like, yeah, don't worry, I got you.
Yeah, danger.
Dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Fucking dangerous. Real dangerous. And that's why I think the issue with the guru stuff is, and it's not just about, you know, doing plant medicines or doing, you know, going to the hospital. It's a load of other stuff. It's about your whole life, you know? It's
totally.
Like fitness gurus and... Yep. and
business gurus.
Any guru, anyone who is claiming that they have some secret that you need to latch onto.
Right.
I think you've got to be real fucking skeptical of.
Totally. Yeah.
Real skeptical because sometimes I start thinking to myself, like, I'm like, you know what, fuck, it would be just, why don't I just go on Instagram and, like, start a kind of, like, I don't know, I could be like a, you know, I don't know, I could talk about business or I could talk about meditation or health or fitness, right, and get a load of followers, and then, you know, but then I take myself through this process of what happens when I do that, right? And then I have to become a brand, right? I become a brand, then I have a method and a brand, then I have to stay on method, stay on brand, and become a true believer of this method that I've created, right? And then I get followers, and all the followers then say, oh, you know, this guy knows what he's talking about, right? And then let's say I get 50,000 followers, then 80,000, then 100,000. And they'll get used to this message that I'm giving them, right? And then let's say I start having doubts about it. And I'm like, I'm not quite sure. And then I say something that deviates from what I was saying before. And everyone's like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Right, this guy's full of shit now, right? And then I realize, like, okay, that didn't work. So I'm going to go back to, like, saying, you know, my whatever it was I was saying before to keep my audience. So now I'm kind of like, my audience owns me. And now I'm a brand, and now I have to believe. And the truth is that I don't fucking know what's going on out there. I don't know what the best fitness method is. I don't know what the best diet is. I don't know what the best religion is. I don't know what the best meditation practice is, plant medicines. I don't fucking know shit, right? And the moment I start pretending that I do is when I feel like I can become unstuck. And, like, that's then I'll be in, there's a serious danger of me becoming, believing my own bullshit. A real serious danger of me believing my own bullshit. And I think there's so many of these people believe their own bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, there's great people online as well who I do follow who are just like, you know, are experts in something.
Mm.
And that's great.
Mm.
You know, it's like, especially there's a lot of people, like I think about the way, like, you know, Tim Ferriss or Rogan or Rhonda Patrick kind of assemble experts, and it's amazing because like, yeah. I can learn a lot. That's great. But there's also this other, like, this other type of person on the internet, which is more like, yeah, I have all the answers and right. they all are, and just, you know, subscribe to my email list and I'll give
you'll
you
get all these insights. Yeah. So, yeah.
And, the more, you know, life is like a single player game and you have to figure out what works for you and experiment a lot and really be your own healer, because that's the only, like, people can only help you so much. I mean, they can tell you what worked for them. They can give you some, they can connect you to different like plant medicines like you have done for me. And, that's great. And, but ultimately like they can't do it for you, the healing for you. You right. have to do it, and you have to do the work, and the work is really hard, and nobody can give you any answers there. Only you can right. find out what the answer is. Only you can find out what's like been knocking at that little inside that little box inside of your head for years.
Right.
And you know, no one is going to heal that for you. No, there's no book you can read. There's no medicine you can take if you aren't willing to just step inside and deal with and face whatever reality is and sit with it and work through it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the ability to the power that you have, I think, right, is the ability to, what would be the right word for it, differentiate, or would be to make smart choices, right, for you.
Yeah,
right, that's the only sort of thing you have, because there's so much information out there, there's so many different things that you can choose or do or be or follow or right, so you've got the most important attribute I think you can have is to be able to spot bullshit, right? It's to be able to figure out like, okay, that doesn't sound right, or that, you know, this that sounds like it's true, and that, if you can really develop that, your kind of discernment, I guess it is, right, your ability to pick out the bullshit, like, or to pick the kernels of truth from the bullshit, like that's the most important skill you can have, I think. Like, you smell bullshit, you should walk away.
There's a lot of benefit from like learning from other like spiritual teachers for sure. And like, you know, I just think about Buddhism, for example. I've got a lot out of Buddhism. Like sort of one of the central tenets of Buddhism is, you know, there's many, many different rivers that lead to the ocean. So you kind of have to, check out as much as you can. And I think so how to like detect, like, for example, in plant medicine space, how do you figure out if it's bullshit or not? It's like, are you, like, do you find yourself like seeking? Do you find yourself like where inside of you is this pull coming to like participate in this like plant medicine ceremony? And if it's from a place of like wanting healing, that is beautiful and amazing. But if you find it sort of like this, like, you know, this seeking thing, if you find yourself, you know, I want to like look good, be right, do something hard, you know, you're going to run into like some difficulties. But at the same time, when I say that, I think maybe actually it's really great, because that the medicine, it will always be like a mirror for you. And if you go in for the wrong intentions, you're going to learn really quickly that they're the wrong intentions.
And that in itself is useful.
Actually amazing. So just go drink San Pedro or ayahuasca. It's like, that's all I can really recommend for people. I know it's not for everybody, but I think it's for a lot of people. And
particularly now, I mean, and one of the things about it is that it's not, there is no guru. There's no one there telling you like you need to think this, you need to think that. There's no. It's kind of like you drink and then it's like you just get shown.
It's sort of the difference between like religion and like, I guess,
a genuine experience.
Shamanism is about experiencing,
yeah,
spirituality.
But that can get corrupted by
easily
a shaman,
easily
by a fake, by a, or not, we'll call him a shaman, I'll call it a guru.
Oh, easily.
It's the guru, right? It's like to draw an analogy, because I don't, you know, I think maybe all the people who are listening, probably some of you are probably interested in the plant medicine stuff, but I don't know how many people, how on the radar is that to you, but like that this sentiment is applicable to lots of different spheres, right? Like I've been listening to finance podcasts, right? So I can't remember what it's some guy called Jesse something or other. I forget what it is, but anyway, it's a good podcast, and he interviews lots of like sages in the in the finance world, investors, legendary investors. But he interviews like real, like legit ones, like really legit ones. And I've listened to quite a few of these interviews, and it's super interesting. And the one thing that I've noticed from all of these sages is that they don't really know. They're like, yeah, it could be this, but it could be that. I don't really know. And like, you know, we did the research and this is what it showed. But then, you know, so we're trying to hedge our bets by, you know, then we've like taken this into account. So we've invested in that. And like, I think that, you know, the way that the Fed is working at the moment means that this, you're likely to see this in the future. So if you're likely to see that in the future, then we've got a strategy to deal with that. And it's all real
humility.
A lot of humility.
Right.
And surprising, because I was expecting them to be like, you know, Gordon Gekko.
Right, from Wall Street.
Yeah.
All the great people I've met in finance, they're so like couching everything, and they're so like data driven. We're talking about being data driven today.
Oh yeah, yeah. But, Michael's favorite presidential candidate is Andrew Yang, because he's data driven.
He's data driven. he is. It's like he says his whole thing is like it's like he has the evidence and he looks for solutions. So it's like, hey, we're seeing like automation like crush jobs.
Yeah.
And like,
what do we do about
what
this?
What do we do about this? I think here's my suggestion: universal basic income. Amazing. Yeah. As opposed to like, you know, these like vague
platitudes,
you know, it's like make America great again. Okay. How? And what needs to be fixed and what doesn't, and what's the prescription? Let's build a transcontinental wall. Okay. How does that do that? Well, we're going to keep our border safe. Like, how does it do that? And by how much and how unsafe is it now? And how, you know, it's like, it just like very, but like, again, we talk about like charisma. A lot of people are drawn to the platitudes.
Yeah.
And seduced by the simplicity of an idea that, you know, there's an other out there. And if we keep the other out, everything is going to be better.
Right.
And if we just give power to this person, you know, they're going to take care of us.
Well, yeah. And it's, you know, it's like the, all these,
like Trump has the guru.
Yeah, he's a guru. He's a cult guru.
He's a cult leader. It's like
Trump and his infinite wisdom.
The world is dangerous and scary.
And Trump, Daddy.
Daddy will take care of all of it.
Yeah.
Like, give me the power. Like, give me the authority. Do not question me, and everything's going to be better. And I will tell you who the enemy is, and I will resolve everything for you.
Right.
So that's why, like, 60% of Trump voters, there's nothing he could do
that would stop him from voting for him,
because they want them, because they believe that this guy is like almost supernaturally capable of protecting them from their own fear.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's crazy that the human need for that. Yeah. Like people can just hack it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like Tony Robbins is a guy who's hacked.
Right.
That way, it's like a wavelength almost, right? Mm-hmm. He can tap into, there's a certain frequency that you can tap into that charismatic people can tap into, and they can mentally fuck you.
Yeah.
And so that you just, I listen to Tony Robbins speak, and I'm like, after a while, I'm like, oh wow, yeah, actually, no, this makes sense. I feel so much better. I'm pumped. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm ready to go. Like, Tony Robbins is like, pump me up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that he's just very good at what he does. I think he's really, really good at what he does. And I think that he has perfected, he's like the art of like being, it's like fake humility almost. Yeah,
right.
Because I know someone who's criticized Tony Robbins and had Tony Robbins' legal team threaten him.
Sure. I mean, his whole business model is like around being right.
Yeah, he's right, and everyone else is fucking wrong.
Right.
And there's no sense of like one of the things in the documentary in I Am Not Your Guru is this woman like stands up and basically says like, you know, I've got no self-confidence or whatever. And he like cold reads her. And this is in an audience of like thousands of people. He like cold reads her.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see him starting to be kind of like, I'm the big daddy and I'm going to tell you like, you know, you need to do this and blah, blah, blah. And then she kind of reveals like, hey, I was like sexually abused in a cult for like years.
Okay.
And then you can see him just go like, oh shit. Like he walks it back real fucking fast.
Right.
But then he does this like weird thing where he's like, right, there's going to be the five guys around you are going to be your uncles and they're going to be your protectors or something. Right. And you're thinking like, what in the fuck is this? Yeah. How is this guy? This is someone who survived like real sexual trauma,
right? What are you doing?
Right, and you're gonna heal her on live on Netflix, right?
Right,
and by giving her fake uncles who she doesn't, some just random dudes who are in the audience, right? And it was just really like really really dangerous. I was just like, this guy's ego is completely out of control here,
right?
And he has no sense that he doesn't really have a sense of that.
Right.
He thinks he can fix it. He's like, I can fix it. I can fix these people's problems. Like, bro, no, you fucking can't. No, you're a fucking psychologist. Have you spent years studying trauma? Like,
yeah,
you haven't done shit.
Yeah, that's like, it's really common in so many. I mean, think about health space, right? People like, you know, or diets, right? Our big thing is diets. Like, the answer is like, you're eating too much pasta. You know what I mean? The answer is you need to eat more meat, or the answer is you need no meat. The answer is, the truth is like your biochemistry, only you can really know.
It's different. Yeah. It's like I have gone vegan.
Yeah.
Right. I have gone vegan almost completely. Right. And I've gone vegan because I basically found that it reduces my symptoms of fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm.
Would I suggest that everybody else goes vegan? No, I would not.
Yeah.
Why? Because I think that, I don't know. Because I don't know, I'm saying it works for me.
Yeah.
Like, I would say if you have fibromyalgia, you might want to try it, because it's massively reduced my symptoms.
Yeah.
I feel less inflamed and whatnot. But I think like you had the opposite experience, right?
Exact opposite experience. Veganism, I felt horrible.
It wrecked your hormones, right?
Wrecked my hormones. So, but you know, we're in that. The thing is like the capitalism, it rewards certainty and clarity.
But the more sure you are,
right,
like the more you become a kind of, oh, this person's like a...
Because, you know, in a world of unsure people, the most confident and sure person becomes the leader. And there's a lot of money to be made by being the leader.
Right.
So why like people want to hear decisive, like, we're going to go and we're going to do this. The plan, like, you know, the problem is immigrants.
Yeah, America first.
America first. All your problems, I got the... Here's the prescription for all of it. Immigrants.
Yeah, or in England, it's get Brexit done. That's the phrase, get Brexit done. Right. Get Brexit done.
Right. Right.
All the Tories just repeat this over and over again. Or get Brexit done. Yeah, that's real simple.
Right.
Let's just tear up like 50, 40 years of kind of extremely complex legal agreements and trade policies and whatnot.
Yeah, but no one wants Brexit to hear the guy who goes like, well, it's going to take me 45 minutes to explain to you why we got here and what we need to do.
Right, how you extricate yourself.
No one wants to hear
that. That's why, like, I felt like Obama was like a really good president, because he took a real meticulous, balanced approach. He studied.
Yes.
And then he wouldn't say, we're going to do this. He's like, look, it's a difficult problem and we're going to come up with a strategy to achieve these particular goals. But it's based on a lot of research, a lot of work. Trump's like, you know, he'll tweet about it like, must do this, or like, you know, down with China, you know, like that's your trade policy.
Right. And that, the thing is, you know, even in Obama's case, like he was really a master of rhetoric. Like he could say nothing, but it sounded perfect.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You're like, this guy's amazing. Oh my God. You know, like,
and he's actually just not said anything.
No. It's like his whole thing changed. Beautiful, perfect.
Hope and change.
Because like hope and change, it's all tied to your idea of like a better tomorrow,
right?
And it's different for everyone.
Right.
But if you can convince me that things will change, and there's going to be hope, like, great. Sure. Where do I sign up? Yeah. I like those things.
Now, he was pretty good at that, Bob. Yeah, he was good at that. Yeah,
and like, there's people who can simplify and like prescribe simply. But
Obama didn't do that as president. Like he spoke that way, but any of the people who worked with him say that the guy was like real kind of like he would take both. You know, he would take lots of different perspectives.
I think that the expectation from him was so high.
Yeah, that it kind of
that he was going to be like the fucking second coming of Martin Luther King and Jesus combined.
Right.
That we kind of forgot that he's just a human being.
He was quite good at saying that. Like, really good. Like, yeah, he was like, listen, I'm just a dude. And I think, like, he joked about it, you know? He joked about it, about how he came from, who's Superman's dad?
Jor-El.
Jor-El, yeah. He did some speech about, like, I was, like, my father, Jor-El, or something like that. Yeah. It was pretty.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like, it's time for us to realize that no one person is going to solve
anyone's fucking problems. Yeah.
And it's like, we're all like, it's the same thing for like pollution, right? Or the environment, like Greta, this 8-year-old girl is going
to
solve everything.
She's like now the savior of like the environment.
It's like, oh, thank God someone's got it. I don't have to do anything now.
So
it's like, no.
That's it's more guru worship.
It's more guru worship. It's like, she's 8 years old. She's doing her best or whatever she is. She's a fucking
she's not
child.
That young. She's not eight,
whatever.
Yeah.
She's a child.
Yeah.
And she doesn't know any better than anybody else. And like,
she's just willing to say it.
She's just willing to come out and say it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
But like, no gurus. That's done. Like, if you see the Buddha, kill them. It's like, no. You know, like,
the environmental crisis is our crisis. It's a personal thing as well.
Of what we made. And man, I'm just thinking about like plastic in general. It's like, wow. You know, you use something for 5 minutes and then you store it for 500 years underground. It's like, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, it's
plastic.
Mental, right?
It makes no fucking sense. It
makes no sense.
And it's like, you know, you take away my straws. Like, fuck you. It's like, dude, it makes no fucking sense. Sorry. Like, what's the point of using something for 30 seconds and then storing it for 500 years?
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's completely
crazy. I get
packages
delivered and it's like,
yeah,
so much plastic. I'm like, why did it? It doesn't need to be in plastic.
Yeah, I was thinking today, like, if I was dictator of the world, the first thing I would do is, if your company pollutes, you pay for the cleanup.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, it should be integrated. You shouldn't be able to capitalize.
So basically, you're saying that you'd like to be dictator of the world. You'd like to
be
a guru. Michael, yeah.
Yeah, I'd be.
All hail, Michael.
It's like, I would say that, you know, as dictator guru for life, for issues regarding the plastic, you know, it doesn't make sense that you get to capitalize the sales, but socialize the pollution.
Yeah, of course.
So we shouldn't all have to pay for the pollution. You should. You're making
make the planet
product.
Great again.
Make the planet great again. Exactly.
Make TP.
Mapka.
GA. Mupka.
It's going to catch on. It's going
to
catch on.
It's real catchy, bro. I think you need to work on your guru.
Yeah, we'll work on it. We'll find something better.
Your branding strategy as a guru. Yeah. Mupka.
Like, ah, fuck this guy. Stupid idea. But it's like, yeah, you, like, I realize, like, you know, when I go for like a hike, I always pick up the trash, like plastic. And it's like, you literally took something out of circulation that would have been in there for 500 years.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
That's nuts, isn't
it? Nuts. Like, you're literally picking up thousands of years worth of plastic by like picking up a couple of plastic bottles. That will be like, you know, you think of how much plastic we breathe in and how much leaches into our water and how much is like in our food and in our everywhere in our entire ecosystem. This has nothing to do with gurus. I'm just like fucking ranting about plastic, but it's like
plastic,
what the fuck? It's like,
but hey, but like, we stop this by A, cutting down your own plastic consumption.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as you possibly can. I mean, it's pretty difficult in modern society to get to do all of it, but you can do something.
Yeah, you can do more.
And you can
than
be
nothing.
Aware of it. Yeah, and you can like, but that's, you know, I think all these things are like, I don't think the environmental change is going to come from just individual behavior, but it comes from individual changing their consciousness.
Yeah,
right. As in, like, you know, look, it's pretty clear we have to elect politicians who take this stuff seriously.
Yeah.
Right? We only elect politicians who take this stuff seriously if our consciousness changes.
Yeah.
Right? And we become aware of these things and be like, okay, if I'm going to listen to Donald Trump, who just pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Yeah.
am I going to, if I have the vaguest concern about the environment, I'm not going to vote for a guy like Donald Trump. I'm not going to support his policies, right? Yeah. So I feel that, but then that again is a personal, it comes down to you. It comes down to your own sort of like, you know, your own consciousness almost. Like where are you in, how healed a person are you? Right? Are you a person that believes, yeah, I want to be eating like as much beef as possible and like driving my truck around the, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, it's very true. Like this whole thing, this experiment of like, we're going to elect people and put them into Washington DC. And then like every couple of years, we're going to check in on them.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Right.
Like it has to be like, we have to participate.
Yeah.
Daily in the design, like everything we have, everything we do has been designed
right
at some point. And like who the gurus we elect into like office and sit in like the Capitol building, it makes perfect sense that like whatever laws they pass will be a reflection of their interests and or what they think is important at least. So if everyone in the Congress was 8 feet tall, you would see like, you know, different size chairs everywhere. You know what I mean? Because everyone would be like, well, we're all 8 feet tall and that's the way chairs need to be this high and as opposed to this high. Like you would see that regardless of how tall everyone else is because of they're going to see things the way like they're designed to see things. And so because of that, and because the people in Congress don't reflect the way population looks, you're going to see like a skewed like set of like legislation benefiting a skewed group of people. And that's exactly what we've seen over the last, you know, whatever, 50, 100 years.
Right.
So, and because it's impossible to interact with the people in this bubble, it just means that we all have to participate much more than we do. And by like gurifying, like, you know, all of our politicians, right and left, to be like, yeah, they're fucking geniuses and they know everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're smarter than me. They're not.
They're not. They're just people.
They're just fucking people. And I sat next to this like a congressman one time and we were talking. And I was like, oh, this guy's not that smart.
Right.
And I'm like, huh, fuck, this is a problem. Like he doesn't know anything about this.
Right.
And like these issues we're talking about really matter and fuck.
I mean, do you see this happening? I do see a bit of the whole for the in the 2020 election coming up. I see a lot of this stuff. The Democrats are desperate for a guru.
They're desperate for a guru. They're desperate for another Obama.
They want another Obama.
Just guy comes out of nowhere, unbelievably charismatic, unites the whole world.
Obama was a one in a million.
Yeah, you don't get
and
that.
And so was Trump.
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
It was unfortunate that they came one after the other.
Yeah, yeah.
In that order.
Yes.
It would have been better
the other way around.
Yeah. Oh my God, if it had been the other way around.
Yeah. But imagine Trump getting elected after Bush. What that would have been like.
Oh
like
my God.
During the fucking like height of the fucking economic crisis.
Oh wow. Yeah. Imagine what that guy would have done with the
fuck
economy.
Fuck me. Who fucking knows?
But it's strange that how. I mean, man, that even the quality of the gurus now is going down. I mean, if Trump is your dude.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, this is what I kind of talked to a Trump supporting friend of mine. And I'm like, this is your dude, really?
Yeah.
Like this guy?
Yeah.
I mean, I get it, you know, even Hitler, right? Hitler could deliver some pretty powerful speeches.
Right.
Right. Have you ever heard like Hitler speeches?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you kind of see how the guy rose to power, right?
Totally.
And that he was, yes, he was a complete psychopath.
Yeah.
But oh my God, could the guy like he could tap into the most to your most evil instincts?
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
You ever heard? I'll see if I can find like a Hitler. Actually, no, that might be a bit weird. Right. Let's bring the mood down a bit.
Yeah.
But you kind of get it. Trump.
Yeah.
This guy can't string a fucking sentence together.
Yeah, it's really strange. Like I don't get it. Like
this guy is the guru.
Yeah,
really?
They blew up lots and lots of things. There's lots of things, and they blew them up. Usually they come through the front door, but they didn't come through the front door this time. You think they come through the front door? It's like, whoa.
Like,
what's up with that? That's the guy.
Yeah, his mind is gone. I mean, his...
I don't... I mean, I think it's...
But what does that show about society?
We want a guru, we'll take anything. Because you know what? He does give you a certainty. He doesn't give you eloquence...
Right.
But it gives you a simple worldview.
We're going to win.
Yeah, so much winning.
More winning. It was going to be so much winning. You're going to be tired of winning. There's going to be winning.
Yeah.
And, you know, and China's ripping us off, and we're going to stop them from ripping us off because they've been ripping us off, and they're going to stop ripping me off, and we're going to bring the jobs back because the jobs are coming back. And the jobs are going to come back because they're going to be back, and then we're going to mine more coal.
And then make America great again. MAGA.
Oh, okay, cool. I like all those things.
But and then people think that it's actually happening. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah,
that
of course they do.
He says it's happening.
So it's happening. It's a cult.
Like, we are winning. What does that mean? Even if you're losing,
right.
If he says they're winning,
right.
Then they're winning.
They're winning.
He can just constantly shift the...
Yeah. To be fair, he's a genius at that.
He is. I'll give him that. He's a master at messaging.
I mean, there's a reason why he's a cult leader, right? There's a reason there's a cult, a personality around him where people think he can do no wrong.
No, right. But I mean, man, I see the guy and I'm like, this guy is so full of shit. If you can't see that he's full of shit.
Yeah.
But I think it says something about society. It does say something about the society that we live in where a guy like this becomes a big thing.
I mean, he's not the only one like that that exists. It's just like he just happens to be the most successful version of that guru thing.
But I think this is why people like Tony Robbins and all these other kind of self-help gurus can take off, because I think, at least in America, American society is so... ripe for. I mean, Noam Chomsky warned about that. Not that I don't take a lot of what Chomsky says seriously anymore, but one of the things that he has been warning about for decades now is he's been saying that America has been ripe for a fascist takeover for 30 years. He's like, we're in it's a uniquely dangerous media obsessed society that's not very well educated and beholden to kind of like corporate power. Right, and the corporate power has figured out how to manipulate a lot of the population through marketing, through propaganda. These types of societies, which become incredibly obedient, is ripe for a fascist dictator.
Yeah, I think
along comes Trump.
There's people watch Fox News 24 hours a day, and if you watch that shit, you're gonna go nuts.
Yeah, you go crazy.
You go crazy. Like I was just telling you. After this election that just happened, a lot of like sort of interesting races, and you know, the Democrats won Virginia and they won governorship in Kentucky, all these like really, really interesting things. What's the front page in Fox News? Mexican cartels kill somebody like near the border. And the second thing is a 14-year-old Hispanic kid killed some other kid.
Right.
And it's like, That's
what they're watching.
That's for them. That's reality, right? And it's like, and for them, it's like, what could be more important than like life and these people getting killed? This is terrible. This is so dangerous. And these Democrats don't want to keep us safe from these terrible others.
Yeah.
And like, oh, and it's like, wow. So if it's like, because people who are afraid are the easiest people to lead,
right?
Because it's like, oh, there's a fire. Where I need to go? We need to go over here.
And that's what Trump
is. That's like a natural reaction is to be obedient when afraid.
Right.
Like, oh, there's a tiger. Where I need to go? Over there? Good. I'll listen. Yeah. I won't be like, okay, is that the best place for us to go with a tiger running? Like, should we go there now? No, then you're going to get eaten. So that natural docileness for when you're afraid is the most effective way to sell people products.
Yeah.
It's the most effective way to get people to do things. And sometimes you need to get people scared to do things. Like, you guys need it. Like, there's a fucking tiger. We need to go. I need to convince you. Like, okay, well, there's a fucking tiger. And if we don't go, it's going to eat you all. Like, oh, you're scared now? Good. We need to follow me. And so the same thing with like, you know, the Tony Robbins thing, right? Like, it's like life is really bad. But guess what? If you follow, like, if you buy these books, like life will be better. And the more you can convince people that it's a serious matter, the more likely they are to buy your product. And if you really believe it's a serious matter, then all the better for you.
It's like the whole Jordan Peterson phenomenon as well.
Yeah.
I feel like Jordan Peterson is a guy who's, I think he's a clearly disturbed guy.
Yeah.
Right. He's like a really disturbed dude who's kind of, through the force of personality, has kind of created this movement of people who are probably come from similar places that he does, a lot, very angry. Maybe he's doing he's doing a good thing to a degree, right? If he's if people feel better from listening or reading to him,
yeah.
But there's always something that I feel was slightly dangerous about him. in that this guy comes from a dark place and he's figured out how to kind of get himself out of that dark place.
Yeah.
Now he's telling lots of other people in dark places, this is how you get out of this dark place.
Yeah.
And maybe they do get out of that dark place, and that's a good thing, right? But there's also the danger that this guy then becomes more than what he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much more powerful than he should be, than any one person should be.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And that's, you know, again, the people to really like admire and follow are the people who say like, listen, I have no idea. I have no idea. Like if you see the Buddha, kill him. I'm not a god. Like the Buddha was like, I'm not a god. I'm just a dude.
Just a dude, yeah.
I sat under a bunch of trees and figured some shit out, wrote it down. If you like it, great. If you don't, cool.
Yeah, don't care. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a god. And, you know, that's it. Like, don't worship me.
But how many... But everyone did anyway.
But people worship the Buddha anyway. That's right. The funny thing about human nature. They're like, wow, this guy really is a god. He's saying he's not a god, which must mean he is.
It must mean he's a god. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like Life of Brian type stuff, you know?
That's one of the greatest movies ever.
It's so accurate. Yeah. Right? It's so true. Like, our need to deify people because... If Jesus Christ was a human being and not the Son of God,
which he was,
then that means I gotta do stuff,
right?
Because like that means like I'm just like him, and like I need to do the work too,
right?
And that means I gotta do stuff. I don't want to do stuff, but he's a God, so now I have my excuse, right? Now there's no, because you know he's a perfect deity, you know, I can't be more Christ-like. Because I, you know, therefore, like I'm justifying all the horrible things I did because I'm not a god,
and that's what Christianity, I think, is the deification of Jesus.
Yeah,
it kind of fulfills this need to have this figure that you can kind of hide behind.
Right, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Jesus will save you. Jesus will save us.
But like he said, faith without works is dead. You know, there's no like the act of doing good deeds is faith. Is worship,
right? But not according, and that kind of obnoxious form of Christianity has, interestingly, like the evangelical movement has taken off wildly in America.
Yeah,
like it's huge in America,
right?
Like evangelical Christianity, and unsurprisingly, they almost all of them support Donald Trump. I think the numbers so are like, it's really high. It's like 85% of them are completely in step with Trump and back him completely.
Like Obama, the guy married to the one person, his beautiful family, you know, no like sexual scandals. He's like the...
Worked as a community organizer. Right, organizer.
He's the ungodly one. The guy who's like fucking porn stars when his wife is pregnant, like so many different mistresses.
Yeah, gives all the money. Like, cuts taxes for billionaires.
Talks about women the way like nobody should.
Yeah,
he's the godly one.
He's the one sent by God.
Yeah, like as a the way locusts were sent by God. Maybe, you know what I mean? Like the way like pestilence, maybe, was sent by God.
But
like, as a punishment.
But the thing is, you can't, when you're talking to people who are that far gone, it's difficult to kind of
unravel it.
You can't unravel it really, because there's so many issues that you're going you have to get through to make them understand. Like, that's what I really struggle with, is how have we got to a place where this guy, where Trump is someone that can be seen as a hero or someone to kind of, you know, in Trump we trust.
Yeah.
Right. How has that happened? What kind of a damaged psyche do you have to have?
I think it's more how afraid you have to be.
How afraid are you? Yeah.
And I think you have to be really afraid.
Yeah, very, very scared.
I think if you're confident and not afraid, Trump never comes anywhere near you.
Yeah,
you have to be really afraid you have to feel really, really afraid and be very angry about being afraid.
Right, right. Yeah, and it's interesting. One of my Trump friends, I think that he, deep down, that's what he is. He's afraid. Yeah. He's afraid of stuff.
Yeah.
But the fear is so deep that he wouldn't recognize it as fear.
For him, it comes to him as anger.
Yeah, it's he's angry.
But anger is just fear that hasn't been acknowledged, you know?
It's like, right.
It's like fear. Who was telling me this? Like fear becomes, anger becomes self-hate.
Wasn't that Yoda?
maybe fear leads to anger. Who was that guy saying, like, fear leads to anger?
You've been watching Star Wars, mate.
No, someone was telling me, like, unacknowledged fear becomes anger. Unacknowledged anger becomes fear. No, unacknowledged fear, whatever, something like that. Anyway, it's like when you're afraid for that long, it kind of manifests because you're not able to acknowledge your own fear. It starts to talk to you in anger because, like, it's the one feeling you could acknowledge. Like, men are allowed to acknowledge anger and express anger.
Yeah.
That's manly.
Yeah.
But acknowledging and expressing fear is not.
Isn't right.
So the energy will just shift within you so you can, like,
it becomes anger. That's it. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
That's really, really interesting because, yeah, if dudes accepted that they were afraid of stuff,
yeah,
then they wouldn't be so angry.
Like, why do you want to have so many guns?
Yeah, it's because you're afraid. Because
you're afraid of what? And what are you afraid of? And it's like the reason it's so near and dear to you is because you're really afraid of the consequences of not having them. And okay, that's a national dialogue. That's something we should be able to talk about.
It's legitimate for a man, particularly men, to feel threatened by other men.
Oh, yeah.
By dangerous situations, right? Yeah. By wanting to defend yourself and wanting to defend your family.
Yep.
Those are legitimate things, you know. Those are legitimate issues that everyone struggles with.
Totally, and that's a national dialogue worth having.
Right, exactly.
Right,
like,
it's totally.
But how do you? The thing is, I think that a lot of people aren't willing to delve that deep.
Yeah, because acknowledging of their fear, they think is weakness.
Yeah, it's like I'm not.
Not afraid. You're afraid of pussy.
Yeah, it's like I remember talking to some kind of young dudes about homosexuality, right? Yeah. About how, and they were Latinos, right? So it's quite a macho culture anyway. And they were kind of, younger guys. And I was talking to them about homosexuality. And I was like, look, I think that most people are, and I said, I'm not most, but I think that everyone is somewhat straight and somewhat gay.
Totally.
Right, that sexuality is a spectrum.
Yeah.
And, you know...
Not me.
Yeah, and when they're like, not me, I'm not fucking gay. Yeah, like, I know I'm not gay. Yeah. I'm like, why...
Why not?
Like, yeah, totally, what's wrong with that? And they were like, what do you think, you know, what about you? And I'm like, well, yeah, I said, yeah, I'm probably about 5%, I would say.
Yeah.
And I'm cool with that. And if it was more, then I'd be cool with that too.
Yeah.
And they were like, the man, like...
Fag.
Yeah, basically, like, man, you would be cool with being gay. I'm like, well, yeah, because it would be part of me.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm not gonna hate any. I don't hate any
part of myself.
I don't want to hate any part of myself.
Beautiful,
right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So if I was 30% gay, that would be cool.
90% gay,
whatever, whatever percent gay, I like it because I would try my best to learn to like it, right? But it was. I'm kind of thinking, you know. But when the guy said to me, you know, I'm not gay.
Right.
I'm not thinking, you're not gay. I'm thinking,
oh,
you are.
You are.
Or, you know, you're probably 10%, right? But you don't want to acknowledge.
We talked about fear and becoming anger, becoming like these things. Like the people who really hate something.
That's what you are.
That's what they are. You hate.
It's what you're afraid of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, listen, I'm not saying like, it's like I hate Donald Trump.
Yeah,
I do because I hate the things that he represents that are in me.
Of course,
are the things that I despise.
Yeah,
and I know that I have them too.
If we all do.
Know I have the greed, the narcissism, the kind of like
selfishness,
the bigotry, the selfishness, all of that stuff. I have all of that within me, and these are things I don't like about myself.
Yeah.
So when I see it manifested in someone else, I hate.
Totally.
And or like, not hate. I will have anger.
Yep, because you're afraid of it.
Because I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of those elements in myself.
Yep.
I'm not going to say that I'm going to stop being angry with Donald Trump. I'm still fucking angry with Donald Trump. I think it's legitimate to be angry with the guy because the guy is a dickhead.
Definitely.
But you've got to... I at least want to acknowledge where it comes from.
Definitely. And like that's... again, that's what we need to have this national dialogues about anger and fear and the things that like... people are really angry about, like on the right and the left. On the right, they seem to be very angry about immigration, and they're very angry about like people trying to disarm them, and they're very angry about the sort of changing demographics of the country. And these are all rooted in fears and insecurity.
And I think they're also legitimate. They are
totally legitimate.
Legitimate, you know, totally like, legitimate. Like I do think that if you grow up somewhere where everyone looks a certain way and you're used to doing things in a certain way, yeah. and then all of a sudden a whole group of new people come in
and they're different
and they don't do things the way that you do them.
Yeah.
And you know they speak funny and they eat funny food and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And they have different ideas about stuff. That's scary.
Totally. And sometimes like again, it's also like yeah, we do need secure borders. We 100% do. We need to have a system where we need to know how many people are in the country now and how many people are leaving and coming, so we can like organize things like schools and all this other stuff.
Sure, sure. I mean, I think in like for where we are now in like our evolution, I think, is like we need to have borders, right?
We need to have borders. We have a system that
right
needs
now.
To like, right,
I think in the, some in the future, I think the concept of a border is kind of dumb. But like, we're not there yet.
We're not there yet. We're not there, and it's like, okay, that's a perfectly. You're not crazy for wanting that. That's perfectly valid.
Mm.
I just think that a transcontinental wall made by the federal government is a crazy way to handle that.
It's not gonna do it. But then, so where then does the if we take that sort of view, like when you're talking about a guru, what is it then about the self that is drawn to a, what is it? Is it a projection
about,
of something?
It's energy conservation. So it's like, ah, you got it. You'll handle it.
Someone's going to do it for
You'll do it for me. Thank God.
Yeah. I'm a disciple of Tony.
Right.
Sorry, I just lost the mic. I'm a disciple of Tony Robbins.
Right.
Tony Robbins is going to fix all my problems.
Right. Exactly right. Like, you know, Donald Trump's got it. He's going to take care of it, or he's going to be safe. I don't have to be afraid.
Right.
Like, my fear is now gone. Energy being conserved. Because
Daddy Donald
Daddy
is going
to... Donald's taking care of it. And look, it's the same reason people fucking loved Obama.
Yeah.
It's like...
And there's a lot of that. There's a hero worship of
hero
Obama.
Worship, right. Dude, it's... Like, if you criticize Obama around certain people, they flip out.
They flip out. Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And it's like, no, he did some fucked up things, man. There's a lot of, like, like his foreign policy, he made a lot of big fucking mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's
I don't agree with it. It's fine. Yeah, it doesn't mean you hate the guy. It
doesn't mean he's a bad person or a bad president. It just means, like, look, these are things that I think he did wrong. It should be fine to criticize him. But it's a hero worship thing. And also, it's because, like, a lot of the criticism for him was so unfounded that you don't want to, like, associate yourselves with the people who are, like, saying he's doing like terrorist fist jabs and like, you know, like he was born in, you know, that he was not American and a secret Muslim. Like I get it. You don't want to associate with like the crazy people who were like hating on him for his race or whatever. But
I mean, that was one of the problems that we had over when I was doing the Daily Banter was like during the Obama years, right? It was like, I felt like we were kind of becoming the go-to Obama defense site, right? Yeah. But then, I mean, I wrote about it, and I was my defense of that was I'm saying like, look, in any other normal society, I'd love to be critical of this guy, but the criticisms leveled at this dude are so insane that it's almost like actually telling the truth, or like, you know, saying actually no, that's not true, right? It's like seen as being kind of you know, so we struggle with it, and I do feel that we can't like I don't know. Because I kind of hero worship Obama as well.
Totally.
Right. I do. And I got to be honest about that. Like I think the guy was like a once in a generation politician. And I happen to agree with him on many, many, many things, or agree with the approach that he took.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you got to be able to tear these people down, not tear them down, but you got to be, it's like Gandhi.
Yeah.
Right. Gandhi, clearly a great person, great human being for the most part, but he was also a racist.
Yeah.
And he was also a hypocrite in many ways.
Yeah. And like actually it's great that we're able now in today's age to start seeing the duality of human nature and not just say that these people are gods.
Right.
And perfect.
Right.
It's like, no, he had his flaws, but he did some really good things.
Right.
And that's everybody.
Right. But it's like, you know, like Tony Robbins, right? Yeah, I don't think that Tony Robbins is a totally bad person at all. I think he's a good person too. But having said, like, if you can't criticize him, like my friend tried to criticize him, my friend got threatened with legal action. Right, it's ridiculous, right? If Tony Robbins is that, he's what is he, Jesus? That's crazy. But anyway, look. So on that note, we're going to wrap it up because we've dismantled gurus, the notion of a guru for all our listeners. But listen, if you enjoy the podcast, you must like and subscribe on iTunes. That would be really good. And if you really, 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 really love us, please give us a fantastic review on iTunes as well. That really makes our day. And even if you don't really, really like us, can you leave us a good review anyway? Because we're desperate. No, I'm just joking. We're not desperate. But please leave us a nice review. All right. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.